Prayer, sweet prayer,
Brother Danny. I tell you, I'm thankful to see the blue skies, green grass today. You know, it's wonderful when you've been born of the Lord's Spirit that we see Him in everything, that He's given us that spiritual sight where we can see Him in every little thing. You know, I'm reminded of that old George Strait song. It says, I saw God today. He was standing on the side of the road and just saw a little flower pop up between the cracks of the concrete. And he said, it looked like God just put it there for him. I feel like y'all are that for me today. I feel like God put y'all here just for me. Y'all are precious in my sight, and I know you're precious in His sight. And He has planted y'all in the house of the Lord today. You know, I didn't get to go to the Western Men Association, and I missed out. I know I did. But I did get to listen to it. I'm glad Brother Ricky was putting it on Facebook for us. But Brother Jeb Owens said something to me that, you know, I found to be true. You know, he said a lot of times his grandpa told him to preach doctrine. You know, a lot of times in the New Testament church, we tend to focus on the New Testament as we preach doctrine. But, you know, this whole book is about and pointing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all doctrine. And for a little while this morning, I want to take some of this Old Testament and preach doctrine of the New Testament to you. If Lord being our helper, we will. In chapter 17 of Genesis, we're going to see that God has promised Abraham some things. He's promised him that he'd be to him a God. He's promised him that he'd make him a father of many nations. He's promised him that him and his seed would take the land of Canaan. And then we see down here in verse 9 or so, where he gives him a token, a seal, something to remind him that those promises that God has made him. Verse 9, it says, "And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou, and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. From now, through all your generations, you'll keep this as a covenant. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token." See, it's a token. It's a symbol of the promise. It's not the promise that God made, but it's a token of that promise. It's a symbol of that promise, a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. "And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh is of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." Now, I want to point out a few things here. Notice that everyone that's to be circumcised is everybody of the household, whether it's of Abraham's seed or whether it's bought with money. Everybody that's born in the family or everything that's bought with a price is to be circumcised. Now, also, according to Jewish custom, and God gave this commandment to Abraham, it was on Abraham to make sure this was done. Under Jewish custom, after the following generations, this was the father's responsibility to make sure the man-child on the 8th day was circumcised. The father was to do it. See, a child can't do it on his own. So everybody that was born in the house, everybody that was bought with a price, was to be circumcised. Now, everything that I find in this Old Testament is just for foreshadowing. The Testament, the law, everything is foreshadowing to something better, something greater. And if we could fast forward just a little while, I want to show you how where doctrine is preached through this. If we turn to Romans chapter 2, I want to notice something there with you. Now, we're going to get to some more in Romans chapter 2 in a minute, but first I want to point out this thing. In Romans chapter 2, verse 29, I want y'all to see something here. It says, "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God." So here we have a comparison of the indwelling of the Lord's Spirit to circumcision. There's a comparison made there between the circumcision and the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, everyone that has the Spirit has been born again. If we look over in John 3, we'll find that the only way to be in the kingdom, enter into the kingdom, to see the kingdom, is to be born again. Born again of what? Born again of the Spirit. If you're going to be in the kingdom of God, you've got to be born of His Spirit. Here in verse 29 of chapter 2, it says that this Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, is like circumcision. Now, if you're going to be, you can't be in the kingdom unless you're born again. Unless that heart has been circumcised by the Spirit. That Spirit of man has been cut out, and the Spirit of God has been placed in. In John 3 it says, so is every child of God. We all born the same way. Every child of God has to have that. Just as over there in Abraham's, every person that was in the household had to be circumcised. I want you to know every child of God that's going to be a kingdom is going to have to be born of His Spirit. They're going to have their hearts circumcised. So we see that comparison between the two. You think about this again too. Over in Romans chapter 4, verse 11, you'll see that circumcision was also, it's a sign, but it's also referred to as a seal of that promise that God made Abraham. The Spirit that we have inside of us over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, says we have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of what? Of promise. See, that circumcision was a seal and a sign of the promise, Abraham. I tell you, that Spirit that dwells inside of us is a seal and a promise that the one of His, that heaven's going to be our home one day, that all the promises that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary is going to be ours. Now, I told you back there that it was the Father's responsibility to make sure that every person in that household was circumcised. How do we get that circumcision of the heart? Who does that? Who does that? Y'all already know the answer, but we're going to go read it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And it could go to a lot of places. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? See, that Spirit's inside of you. You are the temple of our Lord and Savior. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. It's in you. That old stony heart's been cut out, and God has put His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, inside of you. How? Which ye have of God. God put it there. You know what was bad back here in this Old Testament? It was on the father's responsibility to make sure that child was circumcised. But I read in a few places where, you know, if the father was derelict in his duty, then it was up to the Sanhedrin. It was up to the church to make sure that child got circumcised. Isn't it wonderful to know that our Father is not derelict in His duty? Every child of God that is born of His Spirit, I want you to know He did it. He promised it. He performed it. If you've been born again of the Spirit, it's by God. Our Father was not derelict in His duty. Every child of God is born again of His Spirit by God. He put it there. But look at this also. I want to continue on here for a minute. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. You are also bought with a price. Every child of God that's born of His Spirit is born again. You've been born into the household. But I tell you what, you've also been bought with a price. Just like in this Old Testament, that everyone that was bought with a price was circumcised. Everybody that was born in the household was circumcised. I want you to know every child of God that's born again, that's indwelled with His Spirit, circumcised with that Spirit, has also been bought with a price. What was that price? The precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. Because He's indwelled us with His Spirit. Because He's made us. You want to know how you in the family? It's because God has born you of His Spirit. He has paid the price. That's how we're born. That's how we're sons. He's made us sons. It's not anything we did on our own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, what? What you got to do? Glorify God. He's given us everything through grace, through His Son, through His precious blood. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are God's. You are a purchased, precious possession, child of God. So I think we can see the similarity here, the foreshadowing from the circumcision to now. So I see doctrine in that. But you know what I also see? I see a warning. Let's go back to Romans chapter 2 now, and I told you I was going to come back. Why was Paul talking about circumcision in chapter 2? It's because some of this old Jews was trying to bring this old law worship. See, circumcision was just a symbol of the promise. It wasn't the promise. It wasn't how they got the promise. God's the one promised. God was the only one that was going to fulfill that promise. And they took the token and the symbol, and tried to make it a condition of the promise. Oh, that don't happen anymore, does it? Nobody takes the token, takes the ordinances of God that are meant to be symbols of what got us to heaven and tries to make them a condition on being a child of God. Yeah, that still goes on. And it was going on in Paul's day. These old Jews were trying to make these Gentiles that had been adopted into the family of God, they were trying to make them bring in that old law worship and be circumcised. And this is what Paul was fighting against. And I tell you what, God's ministers are still fighting against the same spirit. If we back up from where we were in Romans chapter 2 and verse 29, what does it say? Let's back up to, let's go to verse 23, it says that thou makest thy boast of the law. They thought that old law worship, this old circumcision was what they were holding on to, what was going to get them to where they wanted to go, what was going to save them. Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Trying to bring that old circumcision that you're trying to force on these Gentiles is causing them to blaspheme God. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. If you're going to be circumcised and not keep the law, then there's no difference in the circumcision between being circumcised and being uncircumcised. That's what that old law worship had. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be accounted for circumcision? Uncircumcision, circumcision didn't matter. What meant was being obedient to God. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by letter and circumcision does transgress the law? And here, for he is not a Jew. This old circumcision, this old law of worship is done away with. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law. It's not an outwardly fleshly thing. It's an inwardly thing. It's the circumcision of the spirit. This old law worship, this old flesh doesn't matter anymore. The works of the flesh won't do what God, what Lord Savior Jesus Christ has done. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. We're all family of God, Jew or Gentile, by the circumcision of the Spirit. It's not by the law anymore. It's not by the flesh. It's not by the lineage of Abraham that these old Jews were carrying or holding on to. And circumcision is that of the heart in the Spirit and not in the letter, not in the law, not in the law of righteousness. If it was in that, it says, whose praise is not of men. If it was by the law of righteousness, then we would have where to boast of, because it's counting on our works to get it done. But it's saying it's not in the letter. It's not in the law. And his praise is not of men, but the praise is of God, because he's the one that has done this work in our lives and in our hearts. It's all because of God. It's not because this old circumcision, this old token. That was a signal and a sign of the promise. If we go to chapter 3, Romans, Paul just concludes it. I'll conclude with this. In verse 21 of chapter 3, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." You understand that circumcision and that law were just pointing to Jesus. It was a witness to who was going to complete the work, where the salvation was going to come from, where our righteousness was going to be imputed from. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." I tell you what, you got righteousness. The only righteousness we have to claim and boast of is his. "Unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference." There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, the poor, the rich, male, female. We're all precious to God, and we've all been born of the Spirit the same way. "For all have sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God, being justified freely," freely, not of our works, but of him that justifieth, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation and appeasement." Atonement through faith in his blood. Not our faith, but the faith in his blood. The faith in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ's blood to do what he sent him to do. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say it this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, I want you to notice what we just read there. It says, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past." That are past. The child of God is saved the same way, whether he was born in Abraham's day, he's born in our day, or he's born in the future. It's through the precious blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The same way that Abraham is saved to heaven in immortal glory is the same way that we're saved to morning glory. And any other child of God that's born again of his Spirit in the future, that's the same way he was born again and saved unto glory. It was through his righteousness, the shedding of his blood. That's how the remission of sins were atoned. And Paul says, to declare, I say, at this time and presently. Past, present, future. We're all saved. We're all born the same way. Not of our works, but through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It's not that old worship. It's not that old circumcision you're trying to bring in back into the New Testament. It's all because of Jesus. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the only righteousness we have to claim. That's the only way of salvation we have to claim. It's all of him and none of our works. Brother Job, okay. We know we don't need to be circumcised to go to heaven. But see, there's still that same old spirit of trying to take the ordinance of God and turn them into the conditions of being child of God. And I tell you what, you can't, don't have to go to another order to find it. I tell you what, I've heard doctrines preached from the very pulpit that sound brethren had to get up and debunk. I've heard from this very pulpit that God loved Esau less. This Bible says he hated Esau. But thanks be to God, we had sound brethren that refuted that and fixed it. And we didn't ask those brethren back. There's Primitive Baptist churches right now you can go to and they preach absolute predestination. That's not biblical. Everything you do in life and everything that happens to you is not predestinated of God. The one thing that is predestinated is your destination. I want you to know, because God saved you and sent His Son to die for you, one day you're going to be in heaven. You've been predetermined before the foundation of the world that that's going to be your home, because you're a child of God. And He has bought you with His precious blood and indwelled you with the Spirit. And He said, and He promised the Son, that you would be there where He is. There's Primitive Baptist preachers that I've, or so-called Primitive Baptist preachers that I've heard preach gospel regeneration, that you've got to get this word, this gospel, to the child of God, or he's going to die and go to hell. There's orders that take the Lord's Supper and make that dependent on whether you go to hell. See, it's a token. It's a symbol of what did get us there. How we go into heaven is because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ spilled out His blood and His body was broken on our behalf. There's doctrines out there that take the ordinance of baptism and say the child of God has to be baptized to go to heaven, when it's a symbol of the greatest hope we have while we live, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said, if in this life only I have hope in Jesus, I am of all men most miserable. I tell you what, if the only hope we had in Christ is while we live here, then he's dead in vain. If the resurrection is all past, it's all dead in vain. It's all in vain. I tell you what, if our Lord and Savior Christ wasn't risen, this baptism, we just put you in the water and leave you there. You drown. But we believe Jesus Christ rose from the grave. So we come out of that water. These are tokens and ordinances and symbols that are pointing to how we've been saved. It's not a condition on to be saved. But I'll tell you this. If the Lord and Savior and God has indwelled you with His Spirit, and He's given you the faith and the spiritual sight to see His riches and graces and mercy and how you've been saved, and that it's not of your works and not of yourselves, but it's been a free gift that you've been given because He loved you, child of God, so much. Then just like Abraham believed God and had faith, and he circumcised those that were his, I tell you, child of God, we have a duty and a responsibility to do what God has told us to do. I don't care how long you've been in this church. If this means something to you, if the sweet doctrines of grace and sovereign grace and the sovereignty of God and the election of God's people and the predestination to heaven and immortal glory means something to you, I want you to know you have a duty to come forward and be baptized and take up your cross and follow Him. I don't care if you've been in this church your whole life. I don't care if you're coming from another order. The moment you realize that this is the truth, that His grace is sufficient, that it's by Him and all of Him and none of ourselves, today is no better day to come and make your home and dwelling place in the Lord's house. I thank you for your good order and attention.